Our assigned lectionary epistle reading for this Sunday comes from the book of Romans, from the 13th chapter, beginning at verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, today is the third Sunday in a series of sermons dealing with creating and living into genuine and authentic community. And undergirding any number of reasons of why we even exist as a congregation lies a deep desire and a diligent striving to develop the kind of relationships between ourselves that are life-giving and affirming and encouraging and supportive and honest and even challenging. And we grow into these kind of relationships by using and being true to who we are as individuals, and by risking the sharing of ourselves, by trusting each other enough to be vulnerable, and by realizing that as a community we are responsible and accountable to each other. And that takes a lot of effort, and that takes a lot of commitment. And we learn a great deal about all this from the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome. From the 12th chapter of Romans, which we looked at the past two Sundays, we learn that this begins by not being conformed to this world's values, but rather by being transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we are aligned with God's values. And this is expanded by Paul in the second half of chapter 12 by what I like to call Paul's to-do list for living together in genuine community. This list then can actually be used as a kind of measuring stick to see how well we are doing. And the list includes such things as: let love be genuine, as in sincere, honest, without pretense, play-acting, ulterior motives, or hypocrisy. And this genuine love is lived out in the following ways: to love one another with mutual affection, which means to truly care for the well-being of each other; to outdo one another in showing honor; extending hospitality to strangers. We talked about how that meant making room in our own hearts and lives for others, especially strangers. To rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. In other words, having true empathy for each other. To live in harmony with each other, to be humble and to associate with the lowly. To not claim to be wiser than we are. To not repay anyone evil for evil. And to not be overcome by evil, but rather to overcome evil with good. So now, that leads us to the second half of chapter 13, the passage I just read a moment ago. And Paul continues his instructions of how to live as a Christian community, to live out what it means to be the body of Christ with God's help. And he does this by returning to his favorite subject, love. In verse 8, Paul tells us, Owe no one anything except to love one another. Or perhaps to paraphrase, if there is anything that we as followers of Jesus owe to anyone, it must be the debt of love. Our love for one another is the definitive identity marker of our Christian identity. So crucial is this gift of love that Paul goes on to state, for those who love another has fulfilled the law. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Well, perhaps you've never noticed that particular definition or description of what it means to love one another. Love in the Greek, agape, does no wrong to a neighbor. In other words, love builds community. And notice that Paul's understanding of love has very little to do with emotions and feelings toward each other. Rather, the love to which he refers has to do with our attitudes and our behaviors directed towards others. In other words, our ethics put into action. And our neighbor will know that we love them. How? By how we treat them. Or as the old hymn states, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. And just in case we need reminding, Jesus has already nicely defined neighbor to include any human being with whom we interact. A very broad definition. A neighbor in the biblical sense, then, is not someone we pick and choose, like a friend. If there is indeed a crisis in Christianity today, I would say it's because we have forgotten that we have a debt that is owed to everyone that we encounter. And that debt is to love them. Not a touchy-feely sort of way, but in a way that truly seeks their well-being. And we believe that is marked by respect and dignity for each other. So from Paul's perspective, it's also important to note that none of this is possible in the first place without being transformed ourselves by first recognizing that God already loves us, you and me, and that there is nothing that we can do to earn that love. We just are. And I like the second part of today's reading, in that Paul puts before us a sense of urgency in our mission as Christians to love others. In his typical fashion, Paul makes an urgent appeal that we, quote, lay aside the works of darkness. Then he provides a list that basically refers to those things that are destructive to ourselves and to others. Paul continues his rich metaphorical imagery of the movement from darkness to light by saying that we need to put on the armor of light. While that militaristic language, armor, is bothersome to many of us, it nonetheless reminds us that instead of fighting each other, we need to unite against a common enemy. But let me explain that. That enemy can indeed be described metaphorically as darkness. And that can be found in such things as the darkness of injustice, the darkness of violence, the darkness of ignorance, intolerance, exploitation, addictions, thirst for revenge, the darkness of prejudice and fear, greed, and so forth. Our calling as Christians is to fight against these destructive powers that enslave and divide people and bring harm to ourselves and to others. So the guiding question that is ever before us is this: how can you and I work together as a congregation and individually in our daily lives to fight this darkness? If we, as Presbyterians throughout this country, for example, could engage in the battle against these destructive and divisive powers instead of attacking each other, we might find that we can work for the peace and unity of the church. But remember, first and foremost, that as neighbors, we do owe each other something. That is the debt of love. That's our true debt crisis. Amen.